This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 19th, 2023, the fourth Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world." May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We find ourselves today during Lent on the Sunday that is called Laudate Sunday, which is the Rejoice, Laetare Sunday, Rejoice. Kind of weird to have a day in the middle of Lent that we rejoice. But Lent is all about looking forward to something. That is the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is no other way to heaven but through him and through what he did. This is the gospel that we are supposed to be preaching, the exclusivity of salvation in Jesus Christ and in him alone. We rejoice over this, even during the trying times leading up to this. This is the gospel. Tonight's gospel reading. The gospel, a miracle that is confirmed by Jesus Christ. It confirms him as Savior and puts us on notice as to the necessity of accepting him. Two things: opening our eyes to this truth, and then having us accept this truth. This is the entire message of this gospel. This man who was born blind. The scriptures teach us that we are born dead in trespasses and sin. He's been blind from his birth, and is a death both to body and spirit. When things don't work, as apostles, they see this man blind and, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his mother? Or this man or his parents?" Neither one of them. Now, does this mean every single blind person that exists on the face of this planet was there to manifest the glory of God? Well, in a way, yeah. Because every blind person you see should make you appreciate the fact that you have sight. So there is, in some way, that every blind person, every person has any kind of disability, particularly if it's dramatic, should make you understand how good you have it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have anything to do with sin. It doesn't have anything to do with that at all. We live in a sin, cursed, and fallen world where death and corruption and sickness are present. It doesn't have anything to do with individual sin. This is just the lot in life, and our Lord puts them on notice of this. Neither he nor his parents sinned, but that he may manifest the glories of God. We see him heal this man in a couple things that stand out. For one thing, it was Christ's initiative. This is not one of the blind people that was brought to our Lord Jesus Christ, although there are several stories about where blind people are brought to our Lord Jesus Christ, or blind people hear that Jesus Christ, and they call out to him, "Lord Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David," keep it up until he heals them. In this case, it's completely, because this is, again, this particular historical incident is something to have us think about how the Lord works with the gospel. It's Christ's initiative, Jesus Christ's initiative. We see his initiative, and we see also in an ancillary way, the way that our Lord Jesus Christ uses sacramentals. Sometimes when our Lord Jesus Christ, he just says a word. He doesn't even around the person that he heals. "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Our Lord's nowhere around the man. "Let it be to you," and the man is healed from that very hour. Jesus doesn't even have to be around, but other times he works through the sacramentals, things in this world that through our faith, they work. This is where we learn things like this. So he heals this man with this clay that he met out of the spittle. Kind of interesting to see this man, because we look at the characters in this particular event, we want to make sure that we see ourselves in both of them, because Jesus just didn't give us history lessons for us to, you know, okay, there was a really cool thing you did that you healed a blind man back. We need to apply these things to our life. This man received his sight. You really think about it. He received his sight twice. He received his sight physically. And then as time goes on, and he's asked all these questions repetitively, he comes to the, you know, he's working on it. Who is this Jesus? That's what they keep harping on him. Who is he? What did he do for you? You know, how did he do this? They keep on going on and on about it. One of the things, I like this passage, I like all passages, but this really kind of stands out in my mind as something really kind of special. You know what, I like it because I'm a sinner and I like to pop off. I love the way the guy pops off to the Pharisees. It's really, they keep asking him, and he's answered their question time and time again. And then they ask him, I told you before I did that, what do you want to be his disciples to? And they get all bent out of shape. This man received his sight physically, and they're bantering him about this. And all this banter gets him obviously considered. Who is this man that did this? Because he was blind when our Lord put the clay on his eyes. He never saw our Lord. The Lord puts the clay on his eyes, and he goes and washes, and our Lord's gone when he comes back. So he doesn't know who this, he doesn't even know what Jesus Christ looks like. So when Jesus hears that he gets put out of the temple, Jesus goes seek him out again. After he's opened his eyes, he goes and seeks him again. And then they have this discourse. Do you believe in the Son of Man? I don't know who he is. I'm thinking that the guy doesn't even know that this is the one who... I am the one who speaks to you. Because he actually talks about the physical and then the spiritual. I am the one who you see physically. I am he who speaks to you, opening his heart. So he received his sight twice. He received his physical sight, and then he received the interior sight. So Jesus does this twice for this man. I would submit that the second time is actually more important because that has to do with his eternal destiny, not just being able to see anymore. Dost thou believe in the Son of Man? I believe, Lord. And falling down, he adores him. We should be like this man. We should know that our eyes have been opened by the grace of God to the truth of the gospel. How many billions, and I mean that literally with a B, billions of people walk the face of this planet that will not accept our Lord Jesus Christ. They claim a religion, this religion, that religion, monotheist, whatever, but they deny salvation in Jesus Christ. And the message is, he's the only one that can open your eyes. Not physically, but even then, sort of, because when we're kids and you're born in the church, you're born in a family, they go to church sometimes, that's the physical sight being open. You get an inkling of the truth. But then there's a time when you take your faith seriously. So we want to associate ourselves with this man. We do not want to associate ourselves, of course, with the Pharisees. I like the people, they're getting on this guy about how he can see now, because, I mean, that's got to be a pretty scary thing. If you really think about it, these people watch this man beg their entire lives. He's been blind since birth. And all of a sudden, I don't know. This man came, put mud on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I came back seeing. They're like, oh, man, something weird's going on. So they take him to the Pharisees. How callous. How absolutely callous are these men? You know, they don't even throw the guy the bone of, you know, we appreciate the fact that you can see now, but how did this happen? I mean, they don't mention one time they're rejoicing with him over his restored sight. None of that stuff. Okay, none of it. They just look at him and start hammering him because they hate Jesus. And they know that Jesus is the one that did this. And, you know, again, they were going to do everything they can to trip him up. It happened on the Sabbath. How did he do this? Is it working magic and all this kind of stuff? The callousness is really kind of overwhelming. They never once mentioned they're being happy that the guy can see. Their presumption and hardness of heart. Presumption, grave sin. You know, what is presumption? You're satisfied with yourself. I'm okay. My life is okay. I can run things fine. Presumption. Yeah, they're happy with themselves, the Pharisees are, and that they have no need for Jesus Christ or his word. Okay, they could just blow him off because we're the Pharisees, we know better. This presumption, I mean, they speak, it comes out of their own mouth. You know, they look at this man who has confronted them, particularly after he said, well, you want to be his disciples too? Thou was wholly born in sins, and you teach us? Look at what they're saying there. You were born in sin, and you're going to teach us? Obviously, they think that they weren't. They have no clue that they're born dead in trespasses and sins. We're born the people of God. We're Hebrew people. We're the chosen ones. And they presume on that, and our Lord shows them different. This is like I said, this presumption and you know, I don't need you, it makes you callous. You get spiritually prideful. Our Lord, they kick him out of the temple eventually, the blind man, and our Lord seeks him out again. They're talking back and forth. And our Lord says something. And I pay attention to this because, you know, I'm always talking about how the necessity of being not only knowing scripture, but to know things that people might throw up in your face that are naysayers. What does our Lord say to this man? Well, actually said to the Pharisees, I think of it, you know, because they're hanging around. So Jesus actually wants them to hear this. He says, for judgment, I came into the world that they who see may not see and that they see may become blind. That first one, for judgment, I came into the world. They say, yep, there's a contradiction in scripture right there. He says, I've come into the world to judge. And in John chapter 3, same gospel, John chapter 3, John chapter 12, he says in chapter 3, God sent not his son into the world to judge the world. Chapter 12, I came not to judge the world. What is it? Did you come to judge the world or not come to judge the world? You got to pay attention to context. When our Lord says those two things in chapter 3 and chapter 12, he's talking about his office as judge. Let us use it the word, his office of condemnation. Like when he comes back the second time and he burns his place down. I didn't come for that now. I didn't come for that. We get this in John chapter 3 because after he says, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, he said, he does not send me to judge because those who do not believe are judged already. I don't have to judge you. I don't have to condemn you. This is the gospel. This is what I'm talking about before. This is our being brought into the truth of the gospel. We have to understand that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We need our eyes open, and then we need to embrace in faith our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus says, he that doth not believe is already judged. Believe in what? Believe in the name of the Son of God. The name, Jesus of Nazareth. That's how specific Jesus gets about this. So the whole thing about, you know, he said he came, didn't come to judge. He got the office of judge, again, condemnation versus judging as in discriminating between this, that, or the other thing. I think the problem with the scripture verse that shows this when the woman is caught in adultery, our Lord said, where are your accusers? No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you, but he obviously judged what she did was wrong because he said, go and sin no more. So he judged the fact that she indeed sin, but he's not there to condemn her. This is one verse where we get these two different offices of condemnation, which is coming, and his forgiveness, but discriminating. Because whenever Jesus Christ is around, whenever he is among us, which is always when you're baptized, his presence always involves judgment, discrimination as to what you're doing right or wrong. This is what our Lord's all about. This is why we are convicted by the Holy Spirit when we sin. When we commit sin, we have to understand that indeed, that's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ telling us that what we're doing is not correct. And if we in our hearts think it is, and other people that are faithful tell us, no, it's not, it's wrong, that's Jesus Christ being discriminating in right and wrong. This is his act of judgment. You know, because he specifically says that I've not come to judge, that I have come, I haven't come to judge, I haven't come to condemn, but for judgment I came into this world discriminating, that those who see may not see, and that they who see may become blind. He wants the Pharisees to hear this. This is why they ask, and they know it. Oh, are you saying we're blind? Yeah. you should wish that you were, because they are the people of God. Their eyes were opened by the prophets. Their eyes were opened by the law. But our Lord, they don't see what that stuff all points to. Our Lord Jesus, so they become blind. Notice he doesn't say instantaneously, you will become blind, but the blind see. We're all blind. We're all dead in trespasses and sin, and now we have our eyes open. I'll end with this. I have seen personally both sides of the spectrum, and it dumbfounds me on both positively and negatively. I have seen people who have never lived a life of any faith whatsoever, none. Their parents never, religion just wasn't a thing in their house. And all of a sudden, something happens providentially, and they wind up here, and I'm baptizing people in their mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s. I'm baptizing them, and they're coming into the church from the world. They're, in this day and age, there is absolutely no reason, naturally, that that would happen. But super. So I have personally seen people have their eyes open to the truth of the gospel. I've also seen the other side of that coin. I have seen many people who were born and to faithful families, very faithful families, baptized, confirmed, catechized, and something happens where they go off the rails. Those people are like the Pharisees. They had the light, but now they're blind. I have seen it personally. This isn't a story from the Bible. This is reality. Our Lord has opened our eyes. If we don't cooperate with looking at the light, we will become blind. This is the warning that our Lord gives, because this gospel message is the one that you're supposed to be giving to people. Salvation exclusively in our Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't accept that, they're blind, but you would be pleasantly surprised at how many, if you just open that door a little bit and there shines a light in there, how they will come to Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.